Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Stephen Lewis, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Robert Bruce will join us to talk about raising the Kundalini. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you tonight?
Do you want my real answer? No, I'm doing fine.
Of course.
That's the truth. I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. It's another lovely day in California, of course. And you have it. Oh, wow.
Lucky you in sunny Southern California. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do at Psychic Access.
Okay, and what I do in my life.
That too.
It all started in 1940. Oh, yes. Okay. I'm an intuitive psychic empath consultant, and I utilize tarot as my main tool. The way I look at tarot, at any rate, is it is a symbolic record of human experience. That's just from where I'm standing. So I love my work. It is what I do. I must do it. And it's what I've been doing for about 25 years.
And you're excellent.
Yes, work with all of you people. Thank you.
And you're quite excellent at it, too, I might add, Maureen.
Oh, thank you for that nice compliment. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you. Well, tonight we also have my friend and colleague Steve with us. Hello, Steve.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you. Looking forward to this show.
Yes, I am as well. Ought to be very enlightening. Can you share with us a little bit about what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. So I use the mediumship to connect with spirit and the astrology to help people understand themselves and understand events in life, whether they're past events, present, or future events.
Interesting. It's a powerful double punch. The mediumship combined with the astrology makes Steve one of our top tier psychics over there. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. And we also have here Carmen.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Carmen. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm always so surprised when someone asks me how I am because I'm always looking after you guys. So I'm fine.
Yes, the nurturer of the bunch. I know what that's like. Mm-hmm. Well, Carmen, describe a little bit to us about what it is you do at Psychic Access.
So I am an empath and I'm a telepath. So primarily that's my focus because I like being able to change things on a strategic level and help my clients understand their lovers or partners or business partners' motives. And pretty much work through a system. I work very quickly with about 100 cards every 10 minutes per reading.
Wow.
To do my readings with people. Yeah, and I get mostly investigative detail, a lot of detail regarding conversations, and I'm more of an investigative psychic, I would say.
Very nice. And you have a background in business, economics, something like that. Am I right or wrong on that?
I am. I have a background in media and publishing, and I am a writer. So basically, do actually have a technology background. I've worked extensively with computers and in the film industry and the animation as well. I have a very, very interesting life. Very. Yes. I'll be more than happy to elaborate as we go into the different shows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds great. We've got a bunch of talented people on our roster here. And tonight we also have a very talented man, Robert Bruce, a celebrated author, a researcher into metaphysics, and expert in the field of energy work. Robert is famous for his experience and knowledge in the esoteric field and highly regarded for his successful curriculum of courses on a wide range of metaphysical topics. You can explore the ideas of this fascinating mind at www.astraldynamics.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Robert to the show. Good day, Robert.
Good day. How you doing?
How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, thanks.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. I'm excited about the topic. We're going to be talking about the Kundalini. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that a branch of yoga?
No. Well, you could say there is such a thing called Kundalini yoga, which is designed to help stimulate the Kundalini mechanism. But it's a separate issue. Or how do you describe it? It's a built-in mechanism in the human body, which when stimulated correctly through energy work, intellectual stimulation, devotional work, when it is triggered, it begins to evolve the consciousness of a person to a high level.
Ah, so one doesn't have to be an expert in yoga. One doesn't have to be able to contort oneself into a pretzel shape in order to activate this energy, this force.
No, definitely not. I'll give you an example there. Carl Jung, the famous the father of transpersonal psychology, had a Kundalini awakening, and he actually wrote extensively on the chakras and Kundalini. But not in his most popular academic works.
I see. So the art of arousing the Kundalini was well known then, even in the day of Carl Jung, which was a very long time ago. So it's been around for a while.
Oh, it's been around for thousands of years, but Carl Jung didn't try to deliberately activate the Kundalini, and it often happens to people that it happens spontaneously. And, they don't know what it is, and they go researching it, and then you find out what it is by, you know, the symptoms.
I can't imagine that, just my Kundalini spontaneously erupting. That must be bizarre. What must like?
It does happen. Yeah.
What sort of sensations are aroused once the Kundalini awakens?
Well, to make it easy to understand, I've broken it down into two areas. One is Kundalini awakening, which is a spiritual energetic awakening, and another is Kundalini raising, which is where Kundalini is deliberately raised through energy work or any other method, even Kundalini yoga. But when you have a Kundalini awakening, it is a heavy spiritual energy, metaphysical type awakening where the chakras of the body become super active and you'll find you become, quite psychic, and you will be exposed to a lot of, psychic impressions, a bombardment of them, to a point where usually results in a level of psychosis and disassociation from reality.
Wow.
But once it settles down, of course, the Kundalini, which is a mechanism said to exist in the sacrum area, and they typically use a little symbol of a cobra, a raised cobra, to depict that, it begins the process of evolving the whole energy body and mind to a higher level. And to put it in a nutshell, what this does, it turns a person into a genius it sparks seventh level abilities in a person according to their natural propensities and natural talents. So if you're a writer, for example, then your writing abilities will go through the roof. If you are a scientist, then your scientific abilities will accelerate, your ability to think deeply. It's quite unique to the individual, and everybody's different. For some people, it just evolves you to become a, you know, have a higher level of consciousness. But if you don't do anything with it, you know, it's hardly noticeable. Mm-hmm. Now, raising Kundalini is a different. Raising Kundalini is you could say a much larger event, because through a process of energy work, which is quite simple, it's nothing complicated about it, the you actually stimulate the Kundalini to, you could say, force it to activate, to rise. And when you do that, the sensation is, first off, you will get electrical spikes, they call Kundalini spikes, of an electrical type energy shooting up through the spine. And that can be anything from very noticeable to very painful. And it feels just like electricity when it happens. Now, when the main event is triggered, you will feel a force. It feels like a physical snake as thick as your wrist, forcing its way up through the perineum, which is the flat area between the anus and genitals. And imagine a snake as thick as your wrist pushing itself up into your body, deep in that area, a feeling of deep penetration, and then coiling 3.5 coils clockwise up through the torso and then up through the neck and out of the head. Now, that's the main symptom of a raised Kundalini, although it can happen in several different ways, depending on how your chakras are wired. But along with this comes a blinding flash of light in the mind's eye, which will be experienced whether your eyes are open or closed. They're the major physical symptoms that, you know, herald Kundalini.
That sounds pretty amazing. And I want to reiterate here, if I want to make sure I understand, that it's the interaction of the Kundalini with the various chakras that brings about some of these savant and genius effects that you were talking about. Am I right on that one?
Yes, definitely. The human energy body is a very complex mechanism. And if you look at acupuncture charts, the ancient Chinese mapped it pretty thoroughly. And you'll find the the seven major chakras, which are quite well known, especially the third eye in the middle of the forehead, which is the brow chakra. But there's seven other ones. You have one in the base, in the navel, the solar plexus, the heart, the base of the throat, the forehead, and of course the top of the head is the crown. And they're heavily involved with Kundalini. But the entire energy body is involved as well at when you are actually raising Kundalini. And the reason I know all this about it, and you'd be surprised, I've read very little on Kundalini before the event, before I actually decided to do it, which was about 20 years ago. I'd read about two pages of it in an old spiritualist book of my mother's. And I found just a couple of pages on it and decided to do it. And it took me a couple of weeks to work it out. Now, in the session, when I raised Kundalini, and I've done it dozens and dozens of times, Kundalini is not a raise it once and you're done kind of thing. It opens up a whole new level of energy work and intellectual spiritual development inside of a person. It evolves you to like a higher level of consciousness. And this is a built-in mechanism in the human body, which is triggered by, if you try to be more than you are, and you really push the envelope, say through scientific endeavors like Paul Jung, you really push the envelope in thinking, you need to be more. And this mechanism, it acts a bit like, you could say, a muscle of the human body. If you push your muscles really, really hard, that you'll burn them out, but they grow bigger. And if you keep doing it, it keeps growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And before long, you'll end up looking like Schwarzenegger. The human body has these built-in mechanisms to take itself to higher levels when it is necessary, when you are undertaking activities where you need to be more. Of course, in some people, this happens, this triggers this mechanism. And, when I'd raised Kundalini myself, and I followed my intuition, I didn't have any actual instructions for doing it. I just guessed and used my intuition to work it out. And I fasted for 3 days, had a purgative enema. It seemed natural to cleanse the system out. And then I sat by like an 8-hour deep trance meditation. And cut a long story short, after about 4 hours of energy work, I experienced a massive Kundalini spike up through my spine, which was incredibly shocking when it happened. And the mind's eye flash, of course, came with that and a lot of other chakra sensations. Now, I didn't know at the time that that was it. I'm supposed to have, now I'm done. I've succeeded. That's Kundalini raised. So I kept going. And after about another 30 minutes or so, 45 minutes of continuing to raise energy, I had a few more Kundalini spikes. And then the big breakthrough is when the serpent rose. And it is it is not symbolic. It is a physical sensation when Kundalini rose up through me. I mean, it's so physical. My gut was sloshing around. My intestines were moving. And I could feel it moving internally as it came up through me. And when it came out of the head, it's the blinding flash of light in the third eye. And then this big flap, if you imagine like a 2-pound steak, it was heavy and felt meaty, came out of the head and down over the brow to the tip of the nose. And if you put that together, the uncoiling of this snake up through the body and this big hood coming down over your head. It is, if you had to describe that, it is just like a cobra, you know, coiled and raised a rampant cobra. So that's where the symbology came from. But I didn't know that I was supposed to be done, as all other literature tells you when this happens, as far as I know. So I did it again a week later. And succeeded again, and then a week later, and I did it every week for years. And each time I did it, the experience evolved. And the end result of that, of course, is it increased my psychic abilities to a very, very high level, and other abilities like writing even increased to genius levels. And I have to say, Kundalini is genius, if you want to put it in a nutshell. It triggers genius.
Ah, well, you know, this is a good point for me to ask you this question that I'm actually burning to know. What do you think about the idea, because of the images, the symbol of the Kundalini, the coiled serpent, is often pictured within a triangle, and a triangle is a symbol of the mind. So what do you think about the notion that the Kundalini is an intelligent force?
Well, it is intelligent in the sense, I mean, your entire body is intelligent down to the cellular level. I mean, the cells of your body are incredibly intelligent. I mean, your entire, how you grow from a single cell, you repair yourself on the cellular level. I mean, you break a bone or something, or have a serious injury, and watch what happens. Now your body repairs itself intelligently, and you will find all throughout your body is an intelligence. Now that's on the physical side, and you also have like a higher self, a higher, much higher part of you on the conscious level, which we're not normally aware of. You could say you share the same mind with this greater. It's almost like a divine being inside of you. Now, that part of you, the higher part of you, is the intelligence which is activated. It activates an aspect of that when Kundalini is awakened or risen.
I see. That's a fascinating idea to me, that the Kundalini could itself be intelligent, and that might be a source of the genius that you've been speaking about. That it could be coming from some universal type of intelligence, almost divine intelligence, as it were.
Well, that's what I think. That's what I think is actually happening. It's like a divine intelligence awakened in you. It is not intelligent on its own. It's like not like we have a little brain in the sacrum area that suddenly wakes up. It doesn't have any like an independent consciousness. It is integrated with your consciousness, and that integration causes your level of consciousness and mind to flower, to grow to higher levels.
So what would be a smart way for me, a complete novice, to begin the work of raising the Kundalini in a healthy way?
Well, it can be done in a healthy way. I've taught many, many people over many, many years this has happened during live energy work sessions, where I've had people there that have never done anything, not even meditation, that have come along to one of my live workshops. And on, say, the second day during an energy work session, which typically runs for over an hour, they've had a full Kundalini rising. It's the energy work has just triggered it, and it's happened. Now, some of those people have developed, you could say, genius-level abilities. Some of them haven't really developed anything. They've just become a better person. They've become more mature, stronger. They've developed psychic abilities. There's a lot of maturing goes on in the body, but they don't do anything with it. I mean, you don't have to. It just enhances their life. But I'm sure if they chose to do something, like if they decided to take up music or to write a book or something, or to create, even artwork is heavily involved with Kundalini. All genius abilities seem to be involved with this. But back to your question, the way to do it is to just learn some basic meditation and learn my system of energy work. Now, my system of energy work is different to any other system in the world. It is far easier and much more direct, an impact it has upon the actual chakras and the energy body. It allows you to actually come to grips with the substance of your energy body, so that you can, you could say, manually activate your chakras and manually pull energy up into your body. And that is the key to it, the ability to effectively raise energy up into the base chakra, because everything about Kundalini revolves around the base chakra, which you could say it occupies the entire hip area, but you could say it flowers in the perineum, the flat area between the anus and genitals. So that's the area that has most of the work done on it, and you have to raise a lot of energy up to that, which is quite simple to do, the actual technique. I mean, I can teach you energy work in like 3 minutes, and then you have the fundamentals of how to move energy. And what happens, all other systems of energy work on the planet, they either use visualization or they use posturing, like by posing and stretching the body in certain positions, you cause flows of energy, different flows of energy. So in that way, you can activate different parts of your energy body and increase the energy flow. With visualization, a small percentage of people that do visualization, if you have a lot of practice, actually connect with the physical body kinesthetically. And then you will find energy work will work effectively. But for most people doing visualization, they don't connect with the physical body. It remains visual and does not have a great deal of impact on the energy body. Now, my system of energy work is based on the sense of touch. It is a kinesthetic ability. So with this ability, you can come to grips with the substance of the energy body by way of the nerves in your physical body. And how this happens is if you focus your awareness, you're in, let's say, the center of the palm of your left hand, and if you give that little scratch to cause a residual sensation, and then you focus on that area and feel it. You don't have to look at it, just feel the area, become very aware of it. And you will, by becoming aware of it, stimulate the nerves in the physical body in that area, which causes a lot of bioelectrical activity. Now, if you move that area of attention that you're focusing on the middle of your palm and say you move it up to your fingertips and back down to the wrist and then backwards and forwards or up and down through the hand, feeling the whole hand as you go, what you are causing there, you are causing a lot of stimulation in the nerves, and the nerves charge up when you stimulate them. And when you move away from that specific area, they discharge. So you're causing a lot of charging and discharging, an incredible amount of bioelectrical activity, which you can actually be measured, that level of activity in the body, quite easily. And, but what happens beneath the physical body, all that bioelectrical activity directly stimulates the human energy body, the subtle body, which is, you could say, exists beneath the physical body, you could say slightly out of phase with the physical dimension. Now, if you apply that to the chakras, once you know the basic technique, which, as I said, takes only 3 minutes to learn, you apply that to a major chakra, you will activate it. And so you get a much higher level of activity. So by using my system of energy work there, Kundalini becomes approachable, and it doesn't become like a lifetime's work. People spend decades trying to raise Kundalini using other methods. And there are no effective methods I know of being taught in the West. It's all hit and miss. Any particular system, you'll occasionally get a person that has a Kundalini awakening. But I'm not aware of anybody, even the teachers and authors, particularly in the Western world I'm talking about, that have actually succeeded using their own techniques. Now, I do not doubt that in the Eastern world, in places like India and China, maybe, and other places, or Tibet and that, that there are people there, masters there, that have succeeded in raising Kundalini with their techniques, because there's a problem with the Eastern techniques, Eastern-based techniques we have in the Western world today, which generally came to the Western world from the East over the last 150 years or so, starting with Madame Blavatsky and people like her a very long time ago. And when a lot of Eastern work was brought here, it was translated into the Eastern language. And in the translation, you lose a lot of cultural, spiritual connotations. And some things don't translate very well. For example, the method which you could say the Eastern masters use to move energy through the body translates into English or any Western language as visualization. So the entire New Age spiritual movement has evolved from that, with visualizing this and visualizing that, and very little connection with the physical body in a kinesthetic way. But you will find a kinesthetic style of energy work, my system that I teach in my book Energy Work, and all of my other books is energy work in all of them, it allows you to kinesthetically connect with the substance of the energy body, which makes things like Kundalini possible.
Very interesting. Now, one thing I'm concerned about is it possible? I've read the Kundalini described alternately as serpent power, as liquid fire, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, can I really expect to control such a force, or will I get a Kundalini awakening when I'm, say, in the middle of church or at the grocery store or something of that sort?
Yeah, well, the first thing here, you will never control Kundalini. When you first raise Kundalini and you activate the base chakra to the point where it strokes and releases Kundalini, you release Kundalini. It is like an orgasm. when you stimulate a person, a body to an orgasm, you release that energy and the orgasm happens. And once it happens, you cannot control it. It is like that. Probably a better way of putting it is like, maybe it's like a sneeze, you know. You start right. having a sneeze, and when you start to sneeze, the reflex takes over and you can't control that sneeze. It just happens. It goes through this event, this tickling in the back of your head and your nose, and that builds up until the point where it releases and you get this sneeze that occurs. Kundalini, in a sense, is very much like that. Now, to control it, you control yourself. You learn about yourself, you discipline yourself, you learn how to control your mind and your emotions, and also to self-reflect in real time so that you observe yourself, and through self-observation and knowing yourself, you can learn to control the, what is happening with Kundalini. I mean, Kundalini will not raise suddenly in church, although that is possible. Intense devotional work can cause a Kundalini awakening, but this is very intense. You wouldn't get it, just by going along to a Sunday church meeting or something. And Kundalini is not just Eastern at all. There is a Christian, you could say, every religion in the world and every tradition in the world has something like Kundalini that is called by different names. I think the Christian fundamentalists call it the cosmic Christ. When you have a cosmic Christ event, the descriptions I've had of that is very much like Kundalini. But of course, it is described quite differently.
Sure, sure. And that makes sense because we couldn't expect such a potent physical or spiritual force and a physical force. We couldn't expect such a thing to be limited just to a certain group or a certain culture. It would have to be a universal human condition, wouldn't it?
Very much so. That's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, that this, if you research it, you know, you'll find these sort of events happening all over the world in, you know, different traditions. You know, from the First Nations tribes of America have their versions of that. You would find at the higher shamanic levels, Tibetan Buddhism, you know, Chinese mysticism, of course, the Indian mystics as well. They call it something different, though. Always call it something different according to their beliefs. And there's right. usually this whole cultural thing that goes along with it. But the essence is you have a mechanism built into your DNA, you could say, by which, if you really push yourself, you will evolve to a higher level of consciousness. You know, when you start pushing the envelope too far in certain areas, as typically you will find great thinkers will do, they'll push the envelope, artists will push the envelope, musicians will push the envelope. And sometimes that when you really push yourself in the arts, it can cause even insanity if you go too far. Because, I mean, Kundalini is well known, you could say, for causing something called Kundalini psychosis, which is like a mental illness. And for some people, not all people, some people will experience this. And it's caused by this massive onslaught of psychic and mental impressions and ideas flowing into the mind can trigger a psychosis. I mean, some people don't get this when they do it. I never had a psychosis type of thing when I first did it. But so it comes down to if you have a reasonably stable mind and you have, you know, a reasonable grip on yourself, and you can approach Kundalini fairly safely. It is not a dangerous thing. There's a lot of urban myth and legend out there about how dangerous it is and you shouldn't do that or try to do it. But I have found just normal people, normal working people come along and will experience, not very many, mind you, it's probably less than 1 in 100 at like live workshops and that will have these things, but a lot higher percentage of people have Kundalini-related symptoms. Like in meditation, they will get Kundalini spikes, which will start up, and strong energy sensations, which indicate that Kundalini is ready to rise just beneath the surface. Now, sometimes these people are ready for that. Sometimes they are not. And if you are not completely stable, particularly in a mental sense, then it's wise to approach these things slowly. And instead of doing it in 1 week, you know, let's take several years over the process and nurture it. But it can be approached safely.
Yeah, one of the phrases and the terms you keep coming across with the Kundalini syndrome is that it has a way of affecting one neurologically speaking. For example, and we got to take a commercial here in a little bit, Robert, but when we get back, I'd like to discuss some more of the symptomatology of the Kundalini syndrome. But right now, we are going to take a commercial break, and just to remind you, you can visit Robert Bruce at www.astraldynamics.com. We'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint. And we have tonight with us Mr. Robert Bruce, and the topic tonight is raising the Kundalini. Before we went to commercial, we started talking about premature awakening of the Kundalini and some of the adverse effects that might have. Robert, what do you have to say about the concept of getting this force going prematurely, too quickly?
Well, that is like accidents happening. I mean, there is really never a time in a person's life when they are ready for something which will bring on what you could even call psychosis. You may want it desperately, and a lot of people, you could say, in the spiritual field do. They want their Kundalini badge on their chest so they can say, look at me, I've raised my Kundalini. It's kind of like the spiritually conscious badge, and there's, you know, this is human nature. People strive to do these things just because they can. It's like, I suppose you could liken it to the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, where you get the cooking badge and the hiking badge and that. And it's the nature of ego to, you know, to do these things. But premature, you will always get symptoms of that something is happening when you are doing energy work or any kind of development exercises there. You will get the Kundalini spikes. Now, in my case, when I deliberately manually rose it, Kundalini, I had this massive Kundalini spike that happened to start with. And I continued after that for like another half an hour, and then Kundalini rose up through me. If I had stopped after the first Kundalini spike, the serpent would not have risen, at least not that time. And I could have approached Kundalini in a much slower and more, in a much safer way than I did, a much more conservative way. But I didn't know what to do in those days. I was working it out for myself, which is how I like to do things, to rediscover. It's good science. It's good research to go back and research things and to, you know, learn about them firsthand. I mean, I don't like to talk out of a book unless I've written it, because I there's a lot to be said for personal firsthand experience. Because when you've done something like that, as opposed to, you know, reading somebody else's book and taking their word for it, which I find has served me well over the years. And you have a lot of legends in the world. I mean, people are warned away from things like Kundalini, and they, in a similar way, they are warned away from things like astral projection. Now, if you mentioned that you were learning how to astral project and that, a lot of people would go, oh, don't do that. You're not ready for this or whatever. You shouldn't be doing that, you know. And I mean, why not? I mean, that's right. I find that ridiculous. It's ridiculous because children astral project all the time. Now, animals astral project. I have observed dogs and cats clairvoyantly astral projecting and very young children. And I've often been in rooms when I've been meditating in a deep trance. I've developed astral sight. I can see through my closed eyelids into the astral. And I've observed animals, dogs, cats, even a hamster once, and children and babies projecting out of their bodies and having astral projections. Now, so astral projection is a natural thing that you could say everybody does, every living thing possibly. So, you know, it's not such a big spiritual event. Most of the things that we think we know about it, particularly the stuff that most people will tell you, is just guesswork and urban myth. It's not based on fact and personal experience.
Right. Yes, the I can imagine that people, a lot of people, especially of a conservative mindset, would be naturally afraid of the, I guess, the more advanced or loftier types of spirituality because they probably see it as altering a person's consciousness, much like an intoxicant would do. You see,
well, you could say that, yes, but let me give you an example of Kundalini rising of a different kind. Now, I've never heard of this written anywhere, but it happened, and it's happened a number of times to different people over the years that I've been studying this. Going back many years ago, my son Jesse was 14 years of age, and we were at home together. I worked from home, single dad with my kids. And now, keep in mind, he is exposed to me a lot because we're living together up close and personal. And when you are living with somebody, you'll find if you have a high energy around somebody, it will tend to rub off on another person. Anyway, on this one morning, he's home from school and he's in the shower and I'm in my office the other end of the house and I heard him yell really loudly. And I was about to go and check on him and he came running in with a towel around him, soaking wet. And his exact words were, he says, "Dad, the world's gone purple, man. Everything's purple." And really excited. You just imagine it. You're jumping up and down, then he's falling over. And what had happened when he calmed down, he's in the shower, just showering away, nothing, not doing anything but showering. And all of a sudden, he felt a feeling of concussion in the forehead, like somebody had lightly punched him there, and a massive explosion. A mind's eye explosion of purple light in his mind's eye. Now, with his eyes open or closed, all he could see was this massive purple glow, very, very bright. And even with his eyes open, he could barely see through it to see the physical world around him. And that started to ease off, and then he came running out of the shower. But he says everything, even when he was talking to me afterwards, he said everything is tinged with this thick purple smoke. My body, my desk, everything around him was tinged with purple. There'd been a massive... Now, purple is the color of creativity. And I say that through experience, not through guessing here or based on anything else, as I've said before. Now, the results of that purple mind's eye strobe, as I call it, because a strobe is when a chakra... absorbs a lot of energy, it reaches a critical point and it will explode their energy out in a strobe, much like the flash in a camera will, you know, accumulate a charge in its capacitor, and it, when it's ready, it will flash this enormous strobe of light out. Very, very similar. Now, about 4 hours after the bathroom purple strobe, he called me again excitedly from the other end of the house, and he was sitting in the living room watching cartoons and doodling. And up until then, his artistic abilities were mediocre. You know, he liked to sketch and draw and colour in and things like that. But now I went in there and he's really excited and he's sketching with a pencil and he's trying to copy a rather complicated coloured cartoon picture off a comic book. And he was copying it perfectly. I mean, he was doing fine art. And he looked at that. He had like tears in his eyes. He said, "Dad, I couldn't do that this morning." And on that moment there, he became an artist. And now, here's the most, this is like over 10 years later, at least. Yeah, about 10 years ago this was. And now he's pursued the career of an artist. And he does the most wonderful artwork. And he has these dreamy eyes and he has visions. And he can, you know, create art pieces in his mind. You know, he has a very high level of creativity released by Kundalini. Now, that is one way that Kundalini can raise to enhance and release creative abilities at a genius level.
That's amazing. I'm personally interested in that because I'm a musician and love playing music. And I get a lot of clients who ask me about developing their own psychic abilities. And one thing, you know, I can just imagine that arousing the Kundalini will also have a lot of benefits toward the person's natural psychism. What do you think about that?
The natural what?
Psychism, their natural psychic ability, okay. Their natural intuition and things of that nature, the ability to see all of that good stuff.
That is one way. Everything becomes enhanced. I mean, and the music as well. Music is very, very creative. You hear of the great musicians. They hear music in their mind, and they hear these gorgeous tunes, but they have the ability to put those tunes down either in music or to be able to hum it and play it, and all of a sudden they've got this new riff appeared, which is very cool, or this whole song. Poets use this. We're talking about the muse here, courting the muse. The creative muse is heavily connected to, you could say, the Kundalini. Now, all psychic abilities as well, whether it's clairvoyance, clairaudience, remote viewing, which is the modern term for clairvoyance, is remote viewing, by the way. I use the terms interchangeably here. But any, your intuition, your ability to dream and to solve problems, all of these things become enhanced when Kundalini becomes active in you because it expands your consciousness to a higher level.
Well, that's one thing I'm curious about also, and actually my co-host Carmen is asking this question. She wants to know if there's a relation between trauma, personal crisis, and Kundalini arousal. Can it be aroused through, say, a car accident or losing my job or some sort of stress or crisis?
Yes, I think it can, because one of the things that trauma will do, it drives you within. You might have the most horrific things happening to you. And when you've had a trauma like that, apart from what happened during the event, you may be high on adrenaline and doing, you know, these incredible things, but afterwards it drives you within and it kind of connects you with your higher self at a very, very deep level. And that can trigger psychic abilities to manifest through you. And it could even cause, you know, Kundalini awakening, depending on the trauma.
Sort of jarring the Kundalini into life, so to speak. Yeah, I'm reminded of that movie, what is it, The Dead Zone, where the guy gets in a car crash and he wakes up 4 years later with these intense psychic abilities. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, another approach to Kundalini is Tantra, what they call tantric sex, which is not what it sounds like, really. I won't go into details here. It's quite well known. But that is another approach to stimulating the base chakra through other means to actually attempt to trigger Kundalini. Another example of that is I know the some traditions in the world will sit on – what they do is they basically get a towel and they tie a big knot in it, and they sit on cross-legged, and they sit on that knotted towel, so it's pushing into the perineum area, and they rock backwards and forwards while they are doing their worship and whatever they're doing, and causing a pressure on the perineum to focus body awareness there to try to trigger Kundalini activity. Because Kundalini will also, if you are in religious devotion, will cause a lot of, you could say, religious activity. You may have divine inspiration or divine type experiences, visions and that relating to your faith.
Yes, well, the Kundalini is definitely erotically charged. There's no way of getting around that. Its very location suggests a
but
sort
it
of...
It can be, not always. The right. You have the base chakra, well, I've said, in the perineum area there. You also have a genital chakra there as well. Now, usually that is not involved with Kundalini if you're raising it through energy work using my method. But now, if the genital center does become aroused, it's hugely distracting. Now, I have something which covers everything. I call it my golden rule, which applies to Kundalini and all forms of spiritual metaphysical development. And this has served me well for decades, and I teach all my students to do this. And because of this rule, this is how you approach Kundalini and all of this sort of work with relative safety. And the golden rule is, if at any time you begin to experience uncomfortable or painful or distressing or disturbing symptoms, stop what you are doing and take a break. Take a break for an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, as long as necessary, until you feel completely normal again, and then go back to what you were doing. And in this way, your energy body has a chance to develop in a nice, sensible way. In a similar way as working out the body in a gym, you know, lifting weights. If you want to build your muscles up there, you push yourself until it starts to hurt. Basically, then you take a break until your muscles have healed and they grow a little bit bigger, and then you go back to it. And that is an analogy here, but it's quite accurate. When you're developing even psychic abilities, raising Kundalini, whatever you were doing, if you apply the golden rule and just take a break. And when you take a break, focus on grounding, go out, visit your friend, catch up on your, you know, go and mow the lawn and do physical things, and it will all go away and you will be a little bit more stable and a little bit stronger. And when you approach the exercise again that was causing that and it happens again, it will be easier to take, it will be less painful, less distressing, less uncomfortable, and you can ease your way into this sort of thing. And as a duty of care, I teach all of my students to do this because my way of developing is not a safe way to go. I'm lucky I survived. But as a teacher in this field here and an author in this field here, I needed to do that. I mean, if I give you advice on something relating to energy work, it is based on hard personal experience. I've done that to death. And I know the ins and outs of it and what will happen. So if I say, look, give that a rest or that exercise for a while, take a few days off and do this exercise instead. That, you know, I'm doing that for a reason, because I've been there before. I've made mistakes and right. I've paid for them, but I've survived them. So I can tell you how to avoid them or how to overcome them, which all good teachers should be able to do.
Your students benefit from your past mistakes, but also from your past successes and the pioneering that you have done in this field. They definitely benefit from that.
They go hand in hand.
One thing I like about your method is that it's tactile, like the devotees rocking back and forth on the knotted towel. You know, that's a very tactile activity, and that's just appealing to me, doing energy work using a tactile method as opposed to a more mental and visual method. I think that would yield definite results.
Yeah, it's incredibly easy. I have taught four-year-olds to do my system of energy work, and unfortunately children don't like it. The coyote in me comes out with children, and now, you know, because it tickles them a lot, and you'll find their hands and feet will tickle enormously. And if you ever do this with a group of children, what I do is I get them outside on the grass, and I say, okay, kids, right now, put your hands up, and I want you to clap your hands and make fists and get a bit of a feeling in them, and then I want you to hold them up and feel the wind, feel the air moving through your hands. Okay, yeah. That's all they're doing. I want you to really feel the air moving over the skin of your hands. And you do that for like a minute, and all of a sudden, they go, oh, it tickles, and they're scratching their hands because they've activated the chakras in the hands, and they've got a lot of energy flow, which will cause sometimes, particularly children, a lot of intense tickling. And then I do the same with their feet. I get them to stand there in bare feet and to wiggle their feet on the ground and to feel it, and I get them to focus on the sensation of the grass under their feet and what it feels like, and really focus on that. And within a minute there, oh, it tickles, and they all fall down and scratching their feet, trying to scratch the feet and their hands at the same time, which is impossible. But it's like they're rolling around and go, oh, it tickles. And it does Robert, no harm. I mean, doing something like that.
That is amazing. The tactile method definitely works. Unfortunately, we have run out of time for tonight, my friend. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us. It has been extremely informative. Robert, we have enjoyed pleasure. This interview.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Everybody, you can visit Robert at www.astraldynamics.com. Highly regarded teacher. I recommend him. His tactile method of energy work produces results. Robert, I thank you very much.
Before you go, I'm about to release a program on how to raise Kundalini on my website. So
awesome.
That'll be out in November.
Lovely. Right around the corner. We will definitely check that out, Robert. Thank you very much for enlightening us as regards the Kundalini. I learned a lot about this tonight.
You're most welcome.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Okay.
Big excellent.
Really big cool. Thanks to Robert Bruce for joining us tonight.
Mm. Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Very good. He's gone, but thank you, Stephen. It was a fantastic interview.
Well, it's a subject that's been pretty interesting to me. You know, I've always had this this fantasy with yoga and
with Bruce. And,
no. With yoga. I see myself as becoming a big yogist. You know, I really like it a lot. I think it's a valid method of spiritual development, and for me, it's actually sort of like exercise, even though I don't do it.
You don't, hey?
No,
you need to.
I do need to. It's on my bucket list. It's definitely on my to-do list. So, and this force in particular definitely interested me. You know, just because
he's
of it.
Very good teacher, hey, this guy.
Oh yeah. I like how the Kundalini activates the chakras. You see, that's what I like.
Yeah. So,
well. I'd like to go ahead and take a couple of moments to make a couple of announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number for you later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you are unable to catch our last week's show, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives to all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our goal to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything regarding paranormal development, learn about reincarnation, learn about relationship development using tarot, learn about astrology, all the how-tos of psychic development, a veritable encyclopedia of metaphysics. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. Incidentally, for site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, we invite you to tell your friends about it. Ask them to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, so now it's time to talk about the Kundalini and all of that wonderful enhancement that it entails.
You were starting to phase out there for a moment, Stephen, that enhancement. I'm sorry. You know what I do want to say? Your guest was wonderful because if people don't know what the yoga, it's a yoga, a form of yoga, but he was so informative and very clear, friendly, clear. I feel anybody that doesn't know anything about yoga or anything, that's where I'm, you know, my standpoint is anyway. I really enjoyed listening to him, and he really was very knowledgeable, and you can, and he does what he does for so obviously some very good reasons, because he must do it. But I'll tell you, yoga, you know, I was just talking in the chat room, and I know there's a lot of things that we can do in life, or we can do an act, or whatever. People are saying, well, you know, you can do this, whatever it takes for anybody to get to a great point. But there is seriously a background way history and all this stuff. It's also like acupuncture. I mean, really, putting things. But like, and I was saying, for me, I get a feeling of wonderfulness, like there's no tomorrow, jumping out of an airplane, where most, I mean, I love it. Yeah, but yoga and all that is a whole nother story on the other side of the realm, because you're getting, and it's not because of the high of me jumping out. I just feel good. For me, it's not on my bucket list. It's what I like to do. But I'm just saying, for me, that, and somebody said, I think Rufus was saying something about, you know, some people do these other type of things. But with the Kundalini, I've not yet tried it, but I was wondering, it definitely must raise the pituitary, and Steve, you can jump in on this one because, you know, you are interested in the pituitary. What's it called? The pituitary gland. The gland. You know the gland.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure it must really focus. You know, I'm sure doing that type of yoga would probably really activate that even more so.
Oh, it absolutely would. And the pineal gland, incidentally, has a connection to metaphysics, believe it or not, because of its association with the pine cone. You know, the pine cone is often positioned on top of the thyrsus, the wand.
Sorry.
Well, that's what it's called,
I'm
Mari.
I'm muting off.
That's what it's called. It's called the thyrsus.
I believe you. Stephen, you are very knowledgeable. I believe you. Doing us a favor, I'm muting myself.
Oh, no, don't do that, actually. I'm enjoying talking about the pineal gland with you, Maureen. It's just...
Potato gland, did you say?
Well, it's so tiny, you know. It's so tiny.
I know it is, and it's been there forever. We all have it, everybody. We all have this gland. We're talking about John, just us. People aren't aware of that. Yeah.
Well, one thing that interests me, though, about the Kundalini is the Kundalini syndrome, which is something described by psychiatrists, not metaphysicists. You know, these are actual symptoms that people who abuse this energy develop. And the symptoms are quite wide-ranging. I mean, there's actually something called the Kundalini scale. It's a 9-point scale of various symptoms. Deep ecstatic sensations, severe migraines, tickling, itchings, awareness of internal lights. It goes on. I mean, it's really bizarre stuff.
Done talking, and someone else can jump in.
Was actually wondering about physical sensations because I've often actually felt the opening of my pineal gland.
Wow.
I believe the pituitary gland is actually a real part of the body, right?
It is.
It actually does secrete a hormone. There's a difference between that, because it's melatonin. There's a difference between that and I think that particular chakra that he was talking about. Steve, do you know the name of that chakra, of the third eye? I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm literally mind the pun. I don't know the name, so I'm going to have to look that up.
It's the sixth.
It is the sixth, yeah. And then the seventh is probably... Crown chakra. Which one? The crown.
The seventh, the crown chakra is pituitary.
Yeah.
And then the sixth, the third eye chakra, is the pineal gland. And it's the pineal gland that produces DMT. And DMT is produced under extreme stress. Uh-huh. And it activates the pituitary, I think. And the two most stressful events for the physical body are birth and passing to spirit. So there's said to be a connection between the production of DMT by the pineal gland and the entrance of the spirit into the physical body, or the exit of the spirit from the physical body. And the terms inspire and expire are used. So inspire in many languages means to breathe. Inspirer is to breathe. And the act of taking your first breath when you're born is to inspire, which means to draw in spirit. And then when we are releasing the physical body back to the earth and returning to the astral or to the spirit world, we expire, spirit exits. And it's the production of DMT potentially that facilitates the process of spirit entering and exiting the physical plane.
That's phenomenal.
To me, I think this is a vital link here, the link between spiritual work and glands that secrete hormones. I think that's the place where psychic ability happens. I mean, and we're talking about minuscule structures here. The pituitary gland, for instance, is no bigger than a pea, and it's connected to this little stalk, and it discharges a dazzling array of hormones from its back end and front end.
That's right, and it actually goes to the base of your brain, and it actually funnels right back into your reptilian brain, so which makes you feel like, I mean, that's like you have two brains, right, essentially. You have the basic brain, and this one, I believe, is right at the very back of the head. And that's what produces that almost very fundamental connection, I think probably for animals too, a very animalistic basic connection that we have, maybe, and I'm just theorizing, to trigger in and out of these ecstatic states, possibly for survival. Yet it can be an incredibly spiritual experience, and my theory on spirituality is to some extent, and I believe it's beneficial to our survival. And whatever form of spirituality that is, it heightens man's ecstasy, probably his IQ, you're right, probably his sensitivity, and then sexuality, all the other chakras that follow open up. His love, surely, too. When we think about kundalini raising, do we actually think about the fact that maybe some people want to improve their way that they love, which would be the heart chakra? So I'm almost thinking of combinations of chakras with that particular energy raising.
Oh yes, I would imagine one could focus one's efforts on a particular chakra to produce a specific result that you wanted, you know.
Or a throat chakra if you're a singer.
Sure, right? Sure. Absolutely.
Right? And you'd probably want to avoid, they say, when you're going through a kundalini experience, and I could be wrong, Steve, correct me, that when you get to, you may want to be cautious about raising the seventh, which would be a full, I believe, ascension on top of that, because it could actually trigger psychosis, which is, I think, what we were sort of touching on. They have said that in certain books that...
Yes.
you know, just that's too much of stimulation, and that could be actually connected to the pineal gland or the, and you know, the stress hormones that Steve is speaking about. That's very fascinating. So I mean, there actually could be, you know, a trigger, in the brain or something that can be set off to ascend. It's possible that one day they may synthesize a synthetic kundalini, which scares me.
You could sell it in a bar.
Well, probably would be a machine.
Can I have a pint of kundalini, please? Yeah. On the rocks.
Yeah, and then there would be like kundalini dealers and organic kundalini people. You know?
Oh gosh.
Yeah, backstreet kundalini.
Who could predict what the future development of this thing will be? But it's certainly been around for a long time. This is an ancient.
We can call us at.
That would be great, though, if they could somehow synthesize this, spare us the work of having to actually arouse it on our own. Because I've certainly read some horror stories, too, about this process going awry. People having, again, headaches and nightmares that persist. And it all seems to be wrapped around the idea of raising it prematurely. So, go figure. I guess you want to take your time with this and not rush things. But it's definitely something we're going to incorporate into my own spiritual practice. That's for sure. I want to experience what that kundalini is like, interacting with the chakras. I'm not so thrilled about, you know, I almost had to sign out of the course there with the whole snake penetrating my perineum. You know, that didn't.
I love the wording. I love your wording use. You know, there's a lot of people that wonder if my kundalini is awakened, when will I need to change my lifestyle, you know? And that is not true. So, from where I'm sitting, again, if you like something and you're open to it, my gosh, go for it. Well, lifestyle. Right. I mean, I think it just comes naturally. It helps you connect with your mind and body. I mean, your lifestyle, if you're doing no good to your mind or body, you know, you're going to be affected in all of the positive ways.
I have a question. What if you have a job like ours? Where your kundalini is too active, right? Or are you like, yes, is that still a kundalini state? Can you go beyond that? How can you mute it? You know,
we need a vacation to do that, I think. That's for what true. We don't you think? Well, I think
I would imagine it's quite possible. I mean, if you have a lot of psychic ability naturally to be able to do this work without even raising your kundalini at all, and in fact raising the kundalini would heighten your psychic ability. You see, because, you know, let's face it, you know, there's always more to learn. There's always more improvement to be had by any psychic. You know, one's constantly learning. One's constantly adapting.
Do you really think so? Do you think it's worth it, like, knowing everything? I have to ask you, because you know that some of us do.
No.
I mean, it's like, how do you process it all?
Ignorance is bliss. There's a reason they say that. Ignorance is definitely bliss. It's almost a mathematical correlation between the amount of knowledge one has and the amount of depression one has. It doesn't have to be that way. I hedge just a little bit, saying there's a mathematical relation, but it seems to be pretty strong, a strong link between consciousness and anxiety. That's why I think spiritual techniques have developed to help people with more consciousness sort of regulate the negative effects that come with more an accelerated and enhanced consciousness. I mean, animals, you don't see them getting, I mean, they might get a little down, but they're not aware of their own impending doom. They don't have midlife crises, you know, like a human being does. So yeah, ignorance is certainly bliss, but we don't want it. Nevertheless.
You don't want any ignorant people around, is what you're saying? But I'm ignorant.
Well, we're all ignorant.
Rude. Rude.
No. But, you know, we all are ignorant to a degree. I mean, I'm ignorant to a large degree. I couldn't perform a brain surgery.
Wait, do you just play that ignorant thing? I think you're very intelligent.
I played the ignorant card. No, believe me. I've learned a lot in life that you can get, you know, people.
Oh. Girls, get away! Listen up, because a guy is saying they've learned to play.
Yeah.
Steven,
oh,
you
man.
Got your eyes.
I wish I could have a nickel for every boyfriend or husband who played dumb and his wife bought it because she believed he's essentially an idiot. You know, people all the time will take advantage of other people's propensity to think that they're a moron. We can't help it. It seems to be human nature.
Oh, there's an industry around that.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised to hear that at all.
It's called too much ego.
Oh, I was thinking television industry, but hey.
That's me too. Yes.
I worked in TV for a while in the technical end, and you know.
Well, your inner tube is just as important in that.
I think electrons are a kundalini killer, to tell you. I mean, that stuff just doesn't make me feel spiritual. It usually switches me right out of that state of mind.
Why, television?
Mm-hmm. Any of that radiation, like any of that, the screen, yeah, television.
I mean, I was sitting in the master computers. Control room of the TV station, and it hit me one day, man, how many rays are passing through my body right now? There are
That's
like 13
right.
satellite antennas out there, you know, myriads of computers. How many harmful rays are just bombarding my body right now?
Well, I think it's more the act of diverting your attention towards that and becoming so kind of compulsive or obsessive about the act of gazing at the screen. I'm not so sure if the rays will actually lower your ability to ascend or to improve your kundalini energy. Because, I mean, we're sitting right here underneath, you know, all kinds of satellites and things like that all the time, and it's just going to get stronger. But yeah. I think the act of actually gazing at something and going through channels and continuously surfing will probably get you away. It's probably like the eighth kundalini. God knows where that is. You know, is it like going to be like the new element that they discovered yesterday? Did you hear about that?
Yeah. It's an artificial element, but it's a new element, even though they created it. You know, may we all live in interesting times, as they say.
Oh, yeah, but I think there's a caller, you guys. I think there's a caller. No offense, okay. I didn't mean to.
Okay.
I need a butt instant.
Oh, yes, actually we do, and it will be for Carmen. You have a caller from New Jersey.
Oh, excellent. Hello. Hi, Carmen here. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Simone.
Oh, hello, Simone. Nice to meet you. Hey, thanks for calling. So what can I do for you? What's your question?
Thanks for having me tonight.
Thanks for listening to our show.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. My question is, I've been unemployed for approximately 16 months. I was in banking and, you know, got laid off. My question is, will I eventually find a job?
Okay. So may I ask you what you do so I can identify what kind of work you'll be in?
I work in a call center, in a banking call center, as a customer service representative.
Okay. So what I'm seeing here is, just for your outcome, I'm going to look at basic markers such as if there's going to be any more financial losses. And I see here like a period of stability. We're looking at September here. Ah, good. So in September, which isn't too far off, actually, you might be lucky. You might see a break coming through. It says here sort of like a partial offer. So I don't know if you're working through temp agencies or if this is a contract job. But it seems to me like you get some money. Now, all these things are connections, and it's very important for you to continue to take on the part-time work because you do get offered something here. I'm just wondering here, I'm wanting you to get over onto full-time and get benefits, and I'm going to look at that outcome for you. One second here.
Yes,
try and get timing. Yeah.
You
have children?
I've been trying to even work part-time. I have one son.
Okay.
So
let me have a look here. Jeez, 16 months is a very long time. So it does say something about your family interfering. So that's one of the probably the time markers. If you're going away, you're going to be with family. That's when something changes. I hate to stress a positive through a negative, but what it is actually saying is that for some reason you're going to have this odd interaction with your family. And around that time, so if you know of any family meetings that are coming up, there's going to be some kind of an offer. Again, I feel like this is partial. It's like 2 to 3 months at a time. I'm going to try and fast forward here in terms of timing, speed it up, and look into, say, November, December, because I'm getting a lot of details. I get a lot of details in my reading, okay? So let me look here. Okay, it seems to say here that you will actually be getting some sort of an interview. It says here, probably November, December, within 2 months. You're looking at possibly working with something associated with children. It says here, restricted hours, so it could be late night. Now, I'm thinking here, just take it, because it's like saying, I just don't know what you're going to do about looking after your child. And so there are all these jobs that do come up, but I'm just wondering about the scheduling and what you can do about that. The fortunate thing in your reading, Simone, is that you're not going to be enduring any more financial loss. So this could be that you actually get a job way before November, but that I'm seeing a lot of changes up until then. So that I'm thinking that you're probably going to be fully employed by November. Is my answer to you. That's a long-winded way of coming around to that answer, but I'm getting here that you're probably getting 3 offers along the way, and you're going to have to probably decide what risks you want to take, but at least 3 months. Can you hang in then? Hang in there.
I have no income, driving me crazy, living with family members, not being able to have your own apartment, you know?
Awful. And that's done by November. I just want you to just stay hang tight, because there's going to be, I'm going to look here at particularly your area, like the region that you're living in. I'm going to have a look here.
Okay.
It says here there's going to be a secure amount of, okay, good. It says here there's going to be a contract coming your way. This is a full-time employment. You're going to get health coverage. It does state that here. There's nothing wrong with where you live. So that's good, because we like to know that you're, that, you know, New Jersey is doing well. It's the East Coast. We definitely want you to be healthy. And it says here, an offer actually by a good employer. You're getting a King of Cups here, a complete offer. Responsibilities won't be extreme at this point. Like I'd say, you're probably going to have to just get through the next year to 2 years before you look at a career change again. But don't get despondent, because I think that the timing I'm getting is exactly to what you asked, which was by November. That's all you have to remember right now. Okay.
Okay.
Before Christmas, you're going to get out from your family, okay? I'm sorry. And you'll be friends again. Okay? And thank you. Take care. Do you have any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
I mean, like, you were wonderful, and it's funny that the contract was, because I did get an offer for September, but the gentleman has to call me back, and it's from a temp agency. So, you know, I have my fingers crossed, because it is temp to hire, so,
I think you will get that. And then, so what you're looking at here is, whatever is happening here with your job application process, which I see is sticking right now, is going to come through. So, in fact, I don't even see you losing that much more money. So, is it possible this comes through much quicker? I want you to stay positive, because I did not see financial loss in your reading. One good thing about cards is they're like a data, it's like a printout. And if I could take a photograph and show you, or if you were here, I could show you, of the actual information to be recorded, if you wrote it down word by word, you would probably be able to take out 3 different sets of cards and get the same answer. And that is you're going to be stable, and you're going to have a couple more fights with your family, and then you're out of there, it's done, and you're pretty much stable and set on your own by November. Not that far away. It's a long time, but
stay. And what is your name again, so that I can go to psychicaccess.com and get a reading, because it's my first time calling, so... I enjoyed my reading with you tonight. So how can I get access to speak with you again?
It's Carmen Miro. Thank you for asking. And it's Carmen Miro, M-I-R-O, or Miro, as we like to say in Europe. And do call. And I believe that we also have a good offer when you are a first-time caller with our company as well. Okay.
Thank you so much. You have a great night.
You too, and best to you, okay? Enjoy the rest of your summer, at least. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
All right, Carmen, thank you very much for that wonderful reading.
Well, I'm glad she got good news.
Me too. Yeah. And just Just to remind everyone, you can call the number 724-444-4851. 724-444-4851. We ask that you limit your question to one question, be as clear as possible, as direct as possible, and one question per person so that we can take all the calls in the line. Steve, we have a caller for you from California.
Thank you. Who's calling from California?
Are you Steve?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Hi, my name's Kate.
Hello, Kate. How are you?
Hello?
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm okay. I really enjoyed your program tonight. I listened to the whole thing, and I'm just fascinated by this Kundalini discussion.
Yes. It's really interesting, isn't it? Well, how can we help you, Kate?
Sorry?
How can we help you, Kate?
What I want to know, I have a very banal situation that I want to ask about. It is concerning a court appearance that I had today with my landlord and their management company. We went before, and I'm not asking you for legal advice, so please don't feel inhibited by this question. I just want to ask, I went to court and the judge was about to rule on my case, and she was actually going to rule in my favor concerning a contract that I had signed with my former landlord. And then she realized that it was out of her jurisdiction to rule on it and informed me that I needed to file it in a different county. So I am going to what my question is, if I file it again in the proper county, what does it look like for me as far as the energy and what I'm going to have to deal with to arrive at a satisfying resolution, and would I ever be satisfied? I mean, I know that I'm not going to be satisfied completely because I'm dealing with people who are very complex, very combative, but I just want to resolve the matter, and I have an idea of how I want it resolved. I have kind of like a bottom line, but I'm wondering if they'll ever meet my bottom line, even if I refile my action.
My sense on this is that there's another option. I know that they're very difficult, but I also feel that they understood quite clearly from the proceedings today that they may not win this case. So I feel that although you're in limbo at the moment and that you haven't got an outcome, I feel that they've taken note today that they won't necessarily win. And they are presuming that you will move forward, that you will file in the other county, and that you'll fight for the outcome that you would like. Now, I feel that you would win the case, but I don't feel that materially it's hugely worthwhile.
It would satisfy and conclude the issue, which is what I need.
It's really a matter of principle and also recompense. Now,
they stole my money and I want it back, and they signed a piece of paper saying that they would give it to me, and then after I complied with all of their terms, they only gave me half of what they said they would give me.
Yes. Okay.
It ended up costing me a lot of money to do all of these things that they wanted me to do in order to get the thing that I wanted. And now I'm entitled to not only what they still owe me, but I'm also entitled to what are called statutory damages.
Yes, yes.
And now today they just offered me the thing that they were supposed to give me a year ago, but I mean, now it's so far beyond.
Yes, okay. Well, my strong feeling on this is that they have realized today that this is not necessarily going to go their way. They've realized today that you are a lady who stands up for herself. And they've realized that the process is costly and a waste of time. Now, my guides are saying, and the cards are saying, if you send them a very professional and very neutral in tone letter stating that you would prefer not to have to file in the other county because it causes more expense for everybody, you state that you have received their offer of X, which is what you asked for originally, but you are also entitled to the statutory damages, and you can state your costs that you've incurred. And I feel that you put your number on that piece of paper and send it to them. And I feel that you need to send that at an auspicious time. And we can calculate for you an auspicious time for you to send the letter. You can contact Stephen or myself, Steve at Psychic Access, and we can quickly calculate for you when it would be good to send that letter, when the energy will be in your favor. And I feel that they will settle with you without the delay and hassle of you actually filing elsewhere. They want to settle this. So that,
What is Stephen's contact information on Psychic Access?
If you go to psychicaccess.com and you look at the profiles, I'm Steve, and Stephen is also a hermetic astrologer, and we can calculate for you, either of us can calculate for you when is the best time for you to send that correspondence. And
excellent.
I feel that if you send the right letter at the right time, I don't feel that they'll want to pursue it. It just doesn't seem worthwhile, and I feel you can get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Were you in the discussion tonight on online, on the radio, Psychic Viewpoint?
Sorry, say that again, Katie?
Were you part of Psychic Viewpoint discussion tonight?
Was I?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I wasn't interviewing.
Okay, no,
Stephen,
I just wanted to.
Stephen
yeah, okay.
Was interviewing.
Because you're saying Steve or Stephen. Are there two Steves?
I'm Steve, and Stephen was doing the interview, but either of us can help you calculate. I mean, all of the readers at Psychic
Access
are
great. Do you have extension numbers?
Notice.
I'm confused, because if there are two Stephens, I need clarification on who.
Sure. If you look at the profiles, there's a profile for Stephen, and there's a profile for Steve, which is me.
Got it.
And
okay,
either
great.
Of us can help you. So just see who's on, which of us is online when you look online, and we can calculate that for you. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks so much. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that. That was a great reading, Steve.
Yeah, for you boys. No. I have a call next door. Yay.
Yes, yay. From Georgia.
From Georgia. Hello, Georgia.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi, this is Maureen. And may I ask who I'm speaking to?
This is Kathy.
Kathy, hi Kathy, and what can I help you with?
I had a question. I am very stressed out. I'm taking the CPA exam on Saturday, the business session, which is acronym is BEC, and I just wanted to see if the test is going to go okay, if I'm going to pass, any
right.
insight that you can give me,
okay.
and the score range. Is the 100 is the top.
Okay, and so this, you said CPAs is for county? CPA?
Yeah.
Is that, okay, I understand. And you just took this, and you
the,
were, I'm sorry, go on.
It's what? The business section, which is
yes.
called BEC.
I'm
okay.
familiar with
it.
I'm pretty sure I understand.
Okay.
You know, this is the thing, is clearly you have so much to look forward to, and it's because of your own doing. It's not because I'm just saying it to be nice and, you know, thank me. It's you own this. But it does feel like It's been a difficult many years for you, and you've come to a really good, great place. You worked, you know, I feel that you really prepared for this. It wasn't like, you know, and in fact, because of some past stuff hanging over you, it was, you committed to this, you prepared for it. You are fine. In fact, what I'm seeing is, I see by the spring, early spring, things are doing really well. As far as your exam goes, passing, I feel that you passed and I could be wrong, but I do see that you have passed in the 80s. Now, like I said, I don't see that you were not prepared. You were very prepared. And you were, I know that you may, I guess what I'd like to say to you, I'm encouraging you to know that you have the strength available, because sometimes, well, when I'm seeing you're feeling a little bit weak, or that you don't have the strength to deal with what if something bad comes from this, but really you, I'm going to ask you, did you feel that you prepared yourself appropriately and reasonably for this?
Yes, I'm prepared, but it's just, this is a weird topic. This is a weird section for me because it's like a hodgepodge of a lot of different areas. So it took me a long time to grasp the material. One, I'm tired. And two, I'm very stressed because I have to pass it. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. It has to come back passed.
And I see absolutely, I don't see a barely passed either. I see absolutely. You got it. And the timing was really good. If you had tried to approach this perhaps a year ago, I don't know, it wouldn't have perhaps been the best timing. And I want to tell everybody, I didn't think timing was to do with anything, but really, the older I've become, timing has a lot to do with everything. And the timing for you to be able to sponge and absorb what it was needed to gain the knowledge that you would need to, I see passing this exam in a higher level. It's not like barely passing. I absolutely see, and I see so much great things ahead of you. Like I said, I see by springtime, there's some really new beginning. There's a new opportunity opening up. And this is a real emotional, personal thing about this with you, too. Well, you even said just now, if you have to pass this one particularly. And I can see there has been a lot of past pain. I see all good. I see it just feels so deserving and so it's not like it's. I don't see struggle. It's fine. And in fact, like I said, I see you up in the higher 80%. I'm not saying you're going to get 100%. You might, but definitely you're in the higher area. But definitely passing. And will you be finding out within the next 4 weeks?
Way before that, supposedly September 11th, so it'll come sometime next, between September 11th, 12th, 13th.
Okay, so yes, like I said, and it's you absolutely are going to do great. You did great, absolutely.
Do you see me getting stuck? There's four sections. Do you see me getting stuck anywhere?
No, but I do want to say this. I do see somebody that along the way may be wanting to offer you an opportunity of some sort. And it looks like there's a mess going on around the location or the environment where this is taking place. So what I would like to say is I'm encouraging you, you know, you don't have to do this, but I'm encouraging you to be open to if you're going to head somewhere or be open to go and maybe do something in somebody else's environment, company or whatever, be very aware and mindful of what the surroundings are like, because there's some downsizing, there's some changes, and it would not be to your best interest to go into something like that. That's all I see as far as...
Did you switch over to the job?
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
Did you switch over to a job?
It would be like an opportunity for that, but I see there's other opportunities. So, like I said, just be mindful of what the opportunity is, even though it might be the first thing. I see a lot of options, and you'll have choices. But one particular one, if there's been some changes or downsizing, some people are left a lot, I would suggest steering away from that. As I'm not telling you what to do, but I just feel it would be to your best interest to steer away from that type of environment. You have a lot to look forward to, like I said, really, you do. And you should thank yourself. You've done a great job. You really have, and there's been a lot of – it's been hard for you in the past 10 years, it looks like. real intense stuff going on. You've done well. Very good.
It's been a rough 4+ years.
I hope I helped you, but I see so you the world's your oyster there. That's a great way of saying it. You've done well. The timing was fantastic.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. So, okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. That was an excellent reading. Thank you. I believe I have a caller from Virginia. Hello, who am I speaking with in Virginia?
Hi, this is Dee, caller from Virginia. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How may I help you this evening?
I have a few things that I'm working on. I had an interview today. I had one last week and the week before, and having one coming up next Tuesday. Do you see any one of these jobs manifesting?
All right, let's see what we have here. Will any of these interviews yield a job? Okay. Will any of these interviews yield a job? Let's see what we have here. Well, yes, one of them will. I actually see that the second interview will more than likely be the more secure one and also the more solid one financially, believe it or not, at least over the long term. I definitely see that the second job interview will yield the victory for you. So how would you feel about working for the second?
Are you referring to the one that's coming up on Tuesday? Because I have two next week. So are you referring to...
Ah, yes, the second interview that you will have. You said you already had one, right?
Well, I've had a couple last week, and I had one today, and then I'm having two next week with different companies. These are not the same companies. These are all different companies.
Right. For some reason, I'm attached to interview number two, the one that you had earlier last week, the actual second one you have. Will it be interview number two? That's the one that I see as being the most prominent for you, or at least presenting you with the most long-term benefits. Interview number two, not so much the one you have coming up, but the second one here. Either way, though, I see that you'll definitely have a job. Your efforts are going to be rewarded. You're certainly not going to not get any kind of a job from your efforts. So you will be working fairly soon, too. Let's see, will she be working within a month's time? Let's see how that... Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Within 30 days, you'll be employed with a steady cash flow. And furthermore, it's going to be a pretty good employment, too, one that's going to inspire devotion out of you. So things are actually looking pretty good for you in the employment category. You're definitely going to get one of these jobs. And for some reason, I'm actually just really attracted to the second one. It doesn't necessarily have to be that one, mind you. But you for sure are going to get employment, and it's going to happen fairly fast. Although, you know, once you do get another job, you know, they're going to be trials and tribulations that go along with that, so that's something to be prepared for as well. You see.
So you're not picking up anything for the interview today. Is that what you're saying?
Well, let's see. How did the interview today go? You must be really attracted to that job. Will she get the job for the interview she had today? Let's see how that works. Now, what I'm picking up on most of all is future security and future satisfaction with your job. That's the overall main energy that I'm definitely picking up on. But let's find out right now whether or not this will be the interview. Will today's interview offer her employment? Let's see what we have.
And I'm very open to whatever the universe, you know, sending my way. I'm just looking for clarification, that's all.
Well, certainly. I mean, I believe you'll actually be offered employment by numerous companies. It's not going to be like just one is going to offer you a job. But the interview that you just had today, I see that if you did decide to accept that job, then believe it or not, you would be disappointed with it fairly shortly, too. I see actually a reversal of your desire to work there over time. And again, it's not too much time either. We're talking weeks or months here. So that's something to keep in mind as well, looking into that specific job opportunity. If they offer you employment, what I see is that your emotions toward it are going to reverse. But again, it's not going to be a deal breaker. I just see, you know, startup problems with that, with right. this particular interview that you just had. That's what I see as far as that one goes. But yeah, they will probably. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think you're correct. I do feel very intuitively that I will have several offers, and they're all probably going to come in at once. So it's going to be for me to make the decision and pick the right one. But I do feel that strongly.
How many? We have some time left here. How many interviews total are there going to be, you say?
Oh my gosh, I have at least four, not counting the ones that I've had before. So I have one, actually there's two out there that I would love to. One of them is a permanent job, the others are contracting position. And the two that's actually out there that I've spoken to the recruiters and they had submit my resume and the hiring manager, I think they're just looking to be funded. Those two are, for me, I think are very good opportunities. But as far as right now, they're still waiting on funding to, you know, take me in so I can meet with a hiring manager and take it from there.
Well, what I'd like you to do is give me a number, the number of interviews that you've had or resumes that you sent out for the places you'd like to work at. Is that six?
Well, five? I would say there's two places that I would love to work at, and those are the two that's actually pending. I've had the first step, which is the recruiter. I've had the interviews with them. One interview was set up to have an interview next week with the hiring manager, but the recruiter came back and said, as of right now, that is on hold. I would love to work with that company, but I don't know what's going on. The other one, they're looking for funding, but I'm a very good candidate. So there's two out there that I would like. Does that make sense? Okay. I hope I didn't confuse you. I'm usually pretty concise with my question.
No, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense. And I actually see that and again, for some reason, I'm just attracted to that second job interview, that second one, because I sense a lot of organization and form coming out of that one. But number three is also looking pretty good as well too, in terms of security and emotional satisfaction. The final two interviews I don't think would satisfy you all that much. Okay, so the first three are especially promising, I see, in the long run for you.
Well, thank you, Stephen, appreciate it.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling, and I hope you'll visit us at psychicaccess.com.
Well, thank you. Have a good night.
Yes, ma'am. You too. Okay. I just remind everyone, the call-in number is 724-444-4851. And Carmen, I believe we have a call for you from South Dakota.
South Dakota. Hi. What can I
do for you? How are you this evening?
Oh, fine. Thanks. Just so happy to be here. Just getting to know this wonderful group of people, and I'm so glad that you called me, and hopefully you have a good empathy question, because I'm a telepath.
Well, I do. I've been going through a phase, which all of us do, where I feel like I'm going in the wrong direction. You know, it's the kind of things where no matter what you're trying, it's not working.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you see any positive changes coming my way or suggestions on ways to go forward.
Okay. What are you talking about? Is you just talking about a spiritual aspect? Let me just fine-tune this for you. We have about 5 minutes, and I just want to make sure that I don't waste your time. So it says here, in terms of where you've come from, there's two women, perhaps a friend of yours, that's also causing a bit of disruption in your life. So what I see at first is this could be your sister. It could be a female friend. That might be causing some friction. And it does indicate here some of your history that you're coming out of. It actually says here you've worked very, very hard to get out of this. Do you have children?
Yes, I do. I have two children.
Yes, it's here. The mother has worked very hard to get out of this. And it's just kind of like, it's put in the third person because my cards speak in sort of ye olde English. And they tend to put things in a very polite manner. And what this is saying is here is that this mother worked very hard, came from an unhappy past. And so this is a spiritual counsel too. It's quite nice when it comes like this. It says here, has worked very hard to achieve her place. Yet she feels, perhaps, and again this is you, that she has not sufficed in her role. It says here, yet she shall, or you shall, achieve a contract and a union. So what a kind of a, that would be like so broad though, but yet actually specifically it does say some kind of a partnership. It's very possible that what you're suffering is actually going to drive you towards, even though it seems to me like you're talking about emotional angst, is actually going to drive you into either a business decision or some kind of a purchase. Because this is a Two of Cups and a Ten of Coins partnership with the cards. That seems to indicate that there's a possibility here that out of this emotional confusion, actually a very solid decision arises, such as maybe a brand new starter project for you, but even possibly heralding a relationship. But those things are usually, they're much too easy. And relationships are not that easy. People think that they get the relationship and then we'll sort it out. It's not. It's actually to some extent the achievement that you get, some kind of a project. So actually I think, yes, in just to summarize this for you, looks good. What area are you looking at that's causing you anxiety?
Well, actually, it's not. I've wanted a relationship for a long time, and I've wanted to have a lot more finances than what I have. And, you know, it's kind of everything coming together all at once that, okay, this is not where I want to be. And I think all this emotional stuff, I think you're right. I think it's pulling together, so maybe I can focus a little bit more.
You'd be surprised in a way what an emotional catharsis can do to focus you. You
right.
can't think in terms of the discipline of the emotional state all the time. Sometimes you just have to fall apart a little bit to actually, you know, give birth to a really genius idea. And I do see that here. It does say here a very pressured job. So, you know, when I do these readings, what is good for me is because I like to survey, you know, for the economy, for my own knowledge and for my other clients, what is going to happen economically and what is going to happen spiritually to people. It usually seems to happen at once. I have to say it's good news for you and it's good news for other people out there because it seems to me that something is going to occur that will allow you to lock into some aspect that is actually very concrete and that may actually lead to, it does say here, a King of Pentacles. That's also very fortuitous, but he pursues you. So this male is going to be an extremely strong-minded, possibly obsessive man that seems to be associated with your business. I think it sounds very intriguing. Don't you dare settle into this idea that you're going to be here in even a year from now. Just don't go into that state of mind. Things can change so quickly from week to from day to day, but actually your outcome is very good, and again, these cards are quite good. If you could write them down, you have the Two of Cups, the Ten of Coins, and then it says here the Devil and the King of Pentacles. So it's like somebody's going to come after you and snap you up either for job opportunity or for relationship. You're going the right way.
Okay, well.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad. So you take care and enjoy and have a good week. Have a good weekend.
Thank you so very much. You too.
Okay. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carmen. That was excellent.
Always happy when I get these.
Excellent. Wonderful.
On occasion, you have to give bad news, you know.
But it's nice to give the good news too, right?
Yeah. Lucky tonight. Thank you.
Well, let's hope Steve gets to give some good news. He has a call from California.
Thank you. Who's calling from California? Hello, California.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Angela.
Hello, Angela. How can we help?
I wanted to find out, I met someone today. His name is Marcus. I know
okay.
This sounds crazy, but I just want to know, what kind of impression did I make on this person?
You say the name is Marcus.
Yes.
Well, the first impression I get is the first feeling I get is he found you really genuine. You just have this real genuine energy. You come across as really sincere, really respectful, really warm, really loving, and I feel that there's attraction there. I feel that he is interested in you. So I'm looking at the cards, and the cards suggest that the impression is very good.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. This is a very short, it was a very short reading, but thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye now.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I can tell you really helped Angela with that. You were definitely able to give some good news, so that's always lovely. It's nice when the answers are clear and fast like that, right?
Yeah, well, sometimes it doesn't take a long time, you know?
Yeah, oh yes. It's just, I mean, I love it when it just sort of pops right out at you. So
yeah, I mean, the Ace of Cups came up, and we know that's a good sign for romance.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Yes, the very seed of romance. How exciting to be Angela right now.
Absolutely.
She's got some good times closing up. Okay, well, Maureen, I believe that you have a show coming up next week, don't you?
Your belief is correct.
All right, I am a psychic. Nice.
Yeah,
what you got planned for us next week?
I'm very happy to say, and everybody, I know you all enjoy this, it's Numerology Revealed. I'm having a guest that I had on 2 years ago. He's fantastic. His name is Dale Spencer Weeks. And he's all about, you know, and I back this, about how, you know, the numbers are vibrations. He's a numerologist. He's fantastic. But I also want to just let people know this would be a really good time. I know we have a listener's corner on our homepage here that you can always send questions in. But this would be a really great time if you want to have him, if you send in, maybe you'll get something read about your numerology or your numbers answered over there. So you might want to click down below, contact us, and that would be something I think it would be lovely. Instead of him talking all about me or you guys, which I, you know, I can do too, but he's fantastic, and it'll be a great show. So I say goodnight on that note. Great show, Stephen.
Thank you very much, and a big thank you to Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us all on our toes as the executive producer. And thanks to all of my co-hosts and the listeners and the chat room folks.
Especially the listeners.
Without them, it wouldn't be possible. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great week, everyone. See y'all next Thursday.
Sweet good dreams.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.